The Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute is hosting two intensive 9-day seminars for college students this July in Seattle. For details, visit discovery.org/sem. That's www.discovery.org/SEM. The first track is a seminar on intelligent design in the natural sciences, which prepares students to make research contributions advancing the growing science of intelligent design. The second track, the C.S. Lewis Fellows Program on Science and Society, explores the growing impact of science on politics, economics, social policy, bioethics, theology, and the arts. Applicants for each program must be currently enrolled in a college or university as a junior, senior, or graduate student. Students selected will be provided with course materials, lodging, and most meals. Travel scholarships are available and will be awarded based upon need after acceptance into the program. For application information and other seminar details, please visit discovery.org/sem. That's www.discovery.org/SEM.
I'm going to talk to you about the mismeasure of man, why popular ideas about human-chimp comparisons are misleading or wrong. You've probably heard that our DNA, the stuff that makes us human, is only 1% different from chimps. This claim that we are little more than apes is now part of the zeitgeist of our culture, having been propagated in the popular press for nearly 40 years. However, that statement and the conclusions drawn from it are false. Let's look at the first claim, that we're only 1% different from chimps. That measurement only compares base changes in human and chimp DNA. It doesn't include other kinds of changes to the DNA, like deletions and insertions or rearrangements. In addition, because of the sequencing methods used, repetitive DNA is not included. Now that complete or nearly complete genome sequences for humans and chimps are available, we're getting a better picture of our differences and similarities. In 2007, an essay in the journal Science called Relative Differences, The Myth of 1%, says this, I quote, "Researchers are finding that on top of the 1% distinction, chunks of missing DNA, extra genes, altered connections in gene networks, and even the very structure of chromosomes confound any quantification of humanness versus chimpness." So to explain, to be specific, in addition to the 1% distinction already noted, entire genes are either duplicated or deleted between the two species, sometimes in long stretches called segmental duplications. Such duplications represent a 6.4 difference between chimps and humans. There are also insertions and deletions within genes, which affect the structure and function of the proteins they encode. That contributes another 3% difference, according to some estimates, and they're entirely new genes that are specific to humans. So let's add that up. That's 1% difference plus 6.4 plus 3. Well, you can see we're well above 1% here. There are also changes that affect the timing and amount of gene expression. These changes include the insertion of new regulatory sequences upstream of genes. For example, some 6% of our genome is composed of unique ALU sequences, as they're called, and ALU sequences are known to affect gene expression. In addition, there are human-specific increases in DNA methylation that affect gene expression in the brain specifically, and also increased RNA modifications in the brain. These changes wouldn't be detected by simply comparing DNA sequences, yet they do affect gene expression and interaction. Indeed, by one measure, 17.4% of the gene regulatory networks in the brain are unique to humans. Finally, there are DNA rearrangements. How genes are organized along chromosomes and even the chromosome structures themselves can be different between chimps and humans. For example, our Y chromosomes, the chromosomes present in males, are strikingly different from those in chimps. This was a surprise to researchers given the relatively short time our species supposedly diverged from one another. Now, rearrangements are not included in that 1% number either, because they're difficult to quantify. From all this, it should be apparent that we are only beginning to discover important differences between chimps and us. Our numbers are incomplete. In fact, there's no clear way even to count the changes. We don't even know yet how many or which of these differences are functionally important. Perhaps not all are. However, it would be a mistake to assert that none of them are functionally significant. I quote from the same science paper. Could researchers combine all of what's known and come up with a precise percentage difference between humans and chimpanzees? I don't think there's any way to calculate a number, says geneticist Savant Pabo, a chimp consortium member based at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig, Germany. In the end, it's a political, social, and cultural thing about how we see our differences, close quote. Indeed, that is the truth. In the end, despite our inability to quantify our differences, the differences matter. Let me give you an ordinary example. You can have two houses built of the same materials, 2x4s, pipes, wallboard, nails, wires, plumbing, tile, bricks, and shingles, but end up with very different houses, very different floor plans, very different appearances, depending on how those building materials are assembled. So it is with us. We may have almost the same genes as chimps, but the timing and distribution of those genes' expression are different, and the differences matter in significant ways. It should be said that many scientists are aware of these distinctions. What I've said here about differences between chimps and humans is derived from the scientific literature. In fact, the NIH recently recommended that chimps not be used as a model for medical research, precisely because we are different in many ways. Yet somehow, these differences do not seem to make it into popular literature or TV shows. Here are some of the large-scale differences that get overlooked in the drive to assert our similarity. Our physiology differs from that of chimps. We don't get the same diseases. Our brain development is different. Even our reproductive processes are different. Our musculoskeletal systems are different, preventing us to run, to throw, to hold our heads erect, all things that chimps can't do very well. We have many more muscles in our hands that permit refined tool-making and in our tongues that permit speech. Going beyond the physical differences, we have language and culture. We're capable of sonnets and symphonies. We engage in scientific study and paint portraits. No chimp or dolphin or elephant does these things. Humans are a quantum leap beyond even the highest of animals. Now, some evolutionary biologists acknowledge this difference, though they differ in their explanations for how it happened. And finally, that brings me to another false assumption underlying the mismeasure of man, the idea that genes make us who we are. Many things beyond our genes contribute to making us who we are. Our genes don't control us. Certainly, they can influence our predisposition to disease, or the shape of our nose, or the color of our eyes, but they don't specify how we will respond to the challenge of disease, or what spouse we'll choose. Our experience and our moral character have something to contribute to those things. New studies in psychology indicate, for example, that we can rewire our own brains to think in new patterns. People with OCD or depression can change the patterns of thinking, and by doing those things, they can actually change their underlying neural connections. The choices we make matter, and this is a very non-Darwinian thought. The documentary The War Against Humans and Wesley Smith's companion ebook show how some people seek to equate us with animals, based in part on the false assumption that we are only 1% different from chimps. They see humanity as a destructive species, even a scourge upon the earth that needs to be destroyed. In truth, though, we need to remember we are a unique, valuable, and surprising species with the power to influence our own futures by the choices we make. If we imagine ourselves to be nothing more than animals, then we'll descend to the level of animalism. It is by exercising our intellects and our capacity for generosity, foresight, and innovation, all faculties that animals lack, that we can face the challenges of modern life.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.